So pleased to have with us right now from the Browns broadcast team, Doug Deacon. Doug, watched the final day of minicamp today with you out there on a sunsplash field here in Berea. My first takeaway is that it looks like a lot of finer points. You know, they're going over a lot of finer detail thing, but you wonder if mentally you reach a point with players where, okay, we want to. I mean, they've been just so hammered as time has gone on.
You want to just move on. System
overload. System overload. Didn't you sense that a little bit today?
Yeah, I think that's something that happens because there's so much that you're trying to learn, and it's all new terminology from what you had in college, or if you're a young player. The vets that have been here obviously have a better grasp of it. But, with that said, you're working with different personnel groups, too. And all of a sudden, people you're used to playing with aren't there, and you got to adjust. And, sometimes a quarterback, will throw the ball where the receiver's supposed to be, and the receiver runs the wrong route or doesn't come back for the ball. Or by the same token, the quarterback reads the route wrong. And, you get those things where you're trying to think and do the right thing, but in doing so, it kind of – retards the process because you're thinking too much, really, where once you get that point where it comes natural, then you've got it.
The defense very much has stepped it up, I think, also in the course of these weeks. It looks like they've been, and this is not unusual, they've been a little bit ahead of some things offensively. It looks like players are, no matter who's been at quarterback, the DBs, the linebackers have arrived at the same time or just before the ball gets there, and it looks like they're kind of jumping routes and know where everything is supposed to be, I think, offensively, and they can react to it defensively. And it even got at times a little physical where Pat Shurmur had to kind of calm those guys down.
Yeah, you get frisky. You want to show the coach, what you can do, especially a young kid, and you might get a little overzealous and tackle somebody, and you can't have that, because A, you're going to get injuries, and B, the union's going to be here the next week. So, it's one of those where I think if you're a young ball player, you walk away from a mini camp and you realize, am I in good enough shape? Am I strong enough? And do I have an idea of what we're trying to do? Do I know the plays? And there's so much, that you put in, then you take a few weeks off. And, hopefully those that, feel maybe they're not strong enough, they hit the weight room a little extra harder. Those that aren't in shape, they go. But, I think we've seen a lot of guys make great progress on their own. And I think, we go to Greg Little, obviously kind of reworked his body. Massaqua has, stepped it up a notch. And, that's one of the things last year. You didn't have a running back you could depend on.
Right.
The receivers were hurt. We cut one. And it was just everything was kind of out of sync. And, now I think we're seeing a team that's, more in sync than it was by far last year.
Yeah, I was impressed. You mentioned about Greg Little watching some of the red zone work that they did, and that was a challenge for the offense because the defense was pretty tight with its coverage, and there were not many openings for the quarterbacks to throw to. But I saw with regard to you mentioned Greg Little, you and I were watching a pattern just over the middle where he just snares the ball, and that window was very tight, and he had as much to do with making that catch as Brandon Whedon did with throwing it.
Yeah, and I think Greg not having a year off before he came in last year and being a little heavier, now he has a grasp of it, and when you just it comes natural and you don't have to think, I think your hands soften up a little bit because otherwise you get that little bit of intensity and your hands get tense too.
Yeah, no question about that. How about Josh Cooper? I mean, I'm always looking up and seeing him catch everything that comes his way and just watching how he finds the right spot to be. He just seems to have that natural ability to get open. And I keep thinking, I know it's for a kid, he's an undrafted rookie and it's June, but I think of names like Wes Welker, I think of slot and Danny Amendola. I see guys who just all of a sudden you look up and they're open.
Yeah, you know, and he's the other part of it is you mentioned the hands, and I don't think I've seen a kid drop a pass, and I've seen him make some great grabs.
Yeah,
he's he's not the biggest kid, but you mentioned the Wes Welkers of the world, and sometimes it's the offense that can make the the ball player, and I think Welker's contract is up, and the Patriots signed him as a franchise player, but with that said. If you take him out of that Patriots offense, what is he going to be?
Right.
But if you find a niche for a guy, and that's one of the things I think Belichick does so well is he finds a guy that can do something, and he keeps that guy to do those things. And, and it just excels the program.
Doug Deacon, analyst for the Browns Radio Network, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug, the tight ends are still obviously a very big part of this offense, and do not – say anything about Ben Watson being a guy at the end of the line or too old. What is he, a 9-year veteran? He's out there, and all you see him do is continually catch the ball, continually be the guy who's open repeatedly on these pass routes.
Well, here's a guy that's obviously been around the block a few times, and, the experience definitely pays. And, he's a guy that understands, you don't have to make a one-handed catch. You catch the ball with two hands, and, he was very reliable. And unfortunately, they lost him towards the end of last season. But there's a depth of tight ends here. I mean, Alex Smith came in last year, and I think, Alex is probably maybe the most complete tight end because of his blocking ability. And then you got Evan Moore, who gives you that physical mismatch because of his height. You got Jordan Cameron, has a tremendous upside because of his athletic ability. And then you got Smealy, who, basically could be a hybrid tight end slash fullback. So, that's a position right now, depth-wise. They've got a lot of depth there. And I think, that's going to be a big plus for him.
Jordan Cameron looks bigger to me. He looks more explosive to me. He just – it's hard to take your eyes off of this guy play after play, because even if he isn't catching the ball, it's impressive to watch the way he is getting down there and how he's getting himself open.
Well, it's athletic ability, and I think, we talked about Little sitting out a year before he came here last year. Jordan, making the transition from basketball to football, much more physical sport, although you do get pads.
Yeah.
But, that's part of the game you have to learn. I mean, in basketball, you can't touch anybody. You don't want to touch anybody. In football, you want to, knock the guy's head off. So I think, that's the mental part of making the transition from being a basketball player and trying not to foul and being a football player where you're trying to knock somebody, on their butt, or you're going to get mugged when you go up for the ball. That's an adjustment period. And all these young guys, last year got some very valuable experience.
The O-line, again, one of the hardest areas to assess, but I know you're always paying attention to it, as we all do, but you especially, and that being in your wheelhouse. Are you seeing some things that look okay to you at this point? Are you encouraged by just some of these basic, either mostly, again, it's a passing drill, the way these guys have handled pass protection, and obviously specifically Mitchell Schwartz working at the tackle spot. I know they've put Ryan Miller at that left tackle spot and right tackle at times. What are you taking away from that?
Well, I think, Mitchell Schwartz has great technique. He's, very bright kid, just grasped the offense very quickly. The thing that I think he has to learn is, he's going to play against some pretty strong guys.
Yeah.
And, that's one of those things that you've got to find, that level where you can still move yet be stronger. And, the technique is going to, take him a long way. But when you get the bull rush, then it's a little different world when you have to drop anchor. And talking to Joe Thomas, Joe was just couldn't speak enough of his technique. And as we know, as far as technique comes, there's nobody better than Joe, as far as I've seen.
So Joe likes what he sees from his.
Joe likes what he sees.
That's good.
Joe knows.
And Joe knows. And Joe doesn't, Joe doesn't sit there and randomly hand out compliments. I mean, if he sees something and likes it, he'll tell you. Otherwise, you're not going to hear about it.
No, Joe talks to you as another left tackle, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
A much older one. But, but the thing about, Joe, his game is built around technique. I mean, and he's got athletic ability, obviously, but he just has tremendous, you know, technique. And for those young players like Pinkston and Laval and Schwartz, and you know, they get to watch Joe, you know, in one-on-ones. And yeah, when you don't have pads on, it's more the footwork and that part of it than it is the brute strength. But you know, once you get those pads on, and the thing about Schwartz is, you know, he's going to be going against Jabal Sheer, and this Jabal Sheer could have very well been a first-round draft pick by the way he played last year.
Absolutely.
So you know, he's going to get better at a quicker pace than, you know, if he's, you know, playing some rum-dum over there, you know, in practice every day. So you know, that's a big plus for him, is for a rookie to have a good player to go against on, you know, every snap.
Speaking of that, I think the D-line has actually looked pretty solid. You look for a big drop-off because Phil Taylor isn't there, but it looks, by and large, that group is getting some consistently pretty decent pressure, especially from the outside. I see Rucker, you know, getting around the corner at times, Jaquay Parker. It just looks like the movement's good. I don't know what happens after that certain critical point, because at that critical point they have to hold up because the quarterback's wearing a red jersey.
But the good news is the more critical point is going to be when it comes to cutdown day, rather than last year where they probably said, you know, do we have seven or eight guys we can keep? This year it's going to be a tough cut because the depth has definitely improved. You know, we talk about Phil Taylor, and the thing I guess that's most impressive, you know, about Phil Taylor was, I think the light kind of went on for Phil where, you know, he was busting his tail in the weight room when he got hurt.
Right.
And I think we got to give a lot of credit to Ruben, because Ruben is the silent leader of that group.
Absolutely.
Where Joe Thomas is the leader of the offensive line, when you go to the defensive side, you know, and you watch the way Ruben plays, you know, his motor is, for a big guy, is just really unbelievable.
Deke, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will catch up with you down the line.
Okay.
He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and you are listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.